Hi there, Billy Hindle here, the voice of Alice in the Magnus Protocol. I'm here to let you know that Rusty Quill will be attending UK Games Expo at the Birmingham NEC this May the 29th to May the 31st. We are hosting two free shows, along with our friends at Monte Cook Games and Indie Boards and Cards. If you come along to the Monte Cook Games stand at the Expo, you will be able to demo the Magnus Archives role-playing game and the Magnus Protocol Mysteries game and grab a copy for yourself. You can find out more about our shows at rustyquill.com/expo, that's rustyquill.com/expo. You will need a ticket for entry to the UK Games Expo, but once inside, Rusty Quill shows and demos are 100% free on a first-come, first-served basis.
Du hörst jetzt das beste Gefühl der Welt. Und es passiert weiter nichts. Toll, oder? Denn das beste Gefühl ist, wenn einfach nichts passiert. Wenn du dir keine Sorgen machen musst um dein Zuhause, dein Auto oder ein kleines Missgeschick. Und wenn doch mal was ist, sind wir von der DEVK schnell und persönlich für dich da. DEVK. Gesagt, getan, geholfen.
Rusty Quill presents The Magnus Protocol. Episode 42, Hostile Workplace.
Alice, are you all right? No, Alice, wake up. Come on, stop messing around.
Lost it. Damn, that thing moves quick. How is she?
I don't know. She won't wake up.
Shit. How long has she been out for?
20 seconds, maybe 30.
Wait me in an hour.
Christ, Alice. Don't do that to me.
No promises.
I'll radio Melanie. She should be able to call in a medical team to... Oh!
What?
Your arm.
My arm? Jesus!
When did it happen?
It must have been when it grabbed me.
What's going on?
Nothing. I'm fine. I just need to... I'll be back in a second.
Can you see out of them?
What?
No!
Oh, God, will I start to?
I don't know. We've seen a lot, but this is new.
What do we do?
Oh, we can't just leave them in case it gets worse.
Worse? How can it get worse?
Let's just say we need to get rid of them.
But how do you get rid of extra eyeballs?
I mean, I assume the normal way?
The normal way? Oh, Christ.
Everything okay out there?
All good. Alice, do you have a sewing kit?
In the dresser. Top drawer.
Thanks!
No!
It's just like lancing a boil.
You don't know that.
You'd rather they stuck around? Well then, give me a couple of minutes. Just keep an eye on Alice.
Oh, ha-ha. How are we doing?
Feels like I was drinking tequila all night. But yeah, I'm okay, I think.
I thought I'd lost you.
One all, I guess.
I don't follow.
I already lost you, remember? It was your turn.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's all right. I know you're not my Sam, but you're damn close. And now you're leaving too.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay. Are you sure you can't work things out with your Alice?
I don't know. Last time we talked...
You should try doing an apocalypse together. did wonders for us.
I'll give it some thought.
Just make sure you survive this time, yeah?
Alice.
Okay. Good news is I found a nice big needle. Great news is Melanie's managed to call in a med team and they're on their way. Bad news is they said we need to sort your arm ASAP.
What's wrong with Sam?
Nothing serious, just some minor first aid. Right, Sam?
Yeah, it's nothing.
So, I heated it over the stove, and I even found some old rubbing alcohol kicking around with some clean rags, so we should be good to go.
Is it going to hurt?
Probably. Is that going to be a problem?
No.
Good. Bite down and close your eyes.
Easy for you to say.
It's all right, Sam. I've got you.
Hmm?
Right. Hold it.
I'm trying.
It's okay. Right. That should do it. You can let him go now. See? That wasn't so bad, was it? The medics can take a proper look at the station, but with any luck, we've stopped them spreading at least.
Oh, good.
How are you doing? If you're going to puke, try and keep your arm out of the way.
No, I'm fine. I just need to...
Sam?
He's out. He'll be fine. He's had a big day.
Scratching at the bandages won't help. Trust me.
You have no idea how...
You maybe want to try that again?
Sorry, it just... It itches like crazy. Oh God, what if they're growing back?
Then I'll take a pair. Look, I wouldn't worry. The doctor isn't. This is nowhere near the weirdest thing we've seen from the zone. We had a rookie a couple of years back who got stuck in there for too long, and you wouldn't believe where he started growing a new face.
How's Alice?
Sleeping. But they say she'll recover quick if she doesn't do anything stupid.
That's good. Where's Georgie? I thought she'd want to be here.
Well, given what we're dealing with, she thought it best to go and get... speak of the devil.
This is the one I was telling you about.
Miss Hussain?
Have we met?
I suppose not. Sorry, I'm Sam.
Georgie got me up to speed. So, you've met my double?
Yeah, you were a deputy head.
At the school?
Yeah.
Huh. Was it a good school?
I mean, it was pretty fancy.
Sam, I brought Basira in to help because she, myself, and Melanie are, as far as we know, the last people alive who dealt with our archivist back in the day.
So it is John, then? Or his double, at least?
We don't know.
But you did see it?
What I saw, it was so transformed, so inhuman. If it was him, he's completely gone now.
Okay, sorry, hold up. Can I get, like, an explanation of who this John guy is or something? As far as I know, this is a monster that came over with me, from my world, and now you're all acting like he's an old friend.
Georgie, you care to do the honours?
You tell it better.
All right. So, a few years ago, before everything went to hell, we had a colleague...
A friend.
A guy called Jonathan Sims. He was the archivist for the Magnus Institute, and we all ended up working there at one point or another. Except Georgie. So, anyway... He got wrapped up in bad supernatural stuff, the same as we did, but he got it the worst. It turned him into kind of,
External?
What? No, shut up. He turned into something that sent the whole world to hell. Eventually, he managed to undo it, but it killed him and someone else we cared about.
Well, they disappeared.
At the exact same time that the building they were in completely exploded. That doesn't feel like much of a stretch.
I mean, you say that, but...
Let's not do this again.
So you think this archivist might be the same as your archivist?
Maybe. The eye stuff, the monologues, it's definitely similar.
Where did your archivist come from?
I mean, we don't know exactly.
Best guess.
We have had a Magnus Institute in my world, but it burned down about 25 years ago.
Lucky.
I guess. But me and Alice, my Alice, went poking around in the ruins, and we think we might have accidentally disturbed it.
Do you know how long it had been down there?
No, but it must have been trapped a long time, since the place was destroyed at least. Maybe longer.
The timelines don't work.
That's assuming time is the same everywhere, which we already know isn't the case.
True.
The Institute, the one in your world, did it still serve the Eye?
I don't know what that means.
Did it do a lot of collecting stories, taking statements?
No, I don't think so. It was more into alchemy.
Alchemy? What, like lead into gold?
More like lead plus fear into gold, but yeah, sure.
Interesting.
So then, what's this Eye you said your institute was working on?
Lots to unpack there.
Not it.
Fine. So in our world, fear was like a supernatural force, okay? And it was chopped up into 14 entities.
14 and a half, really.
Whatever. The point is, each one was tied to a specific kind of fear. Like, the corruption was all disease and filth and bugs. Or the spiral was kind of like madness and not trusting yourself. Or the hunt, which... You get the idea.
And your Eye was one of these entities?
The Eye was a power, yes. One obsessed with being watched.
But that's not how it works where you come from, is
it? I don't think so. My job was categorizing these things for the government, and we had a whole index of way more specific listings.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. So, like, when I was a kid, I applied for the Magnus Institute's Gifted Kids Outreach Program, and, well, long story short, I saw a man's skeleton claw its way free of his body.
Sounds like flesh to me.
Maybe buried?
So, what did your index say about it?
I think it was something like alchemy cross-reference with human bones or something.
Okay.
But that's not the one I was thinking about. That was just a setup.
Go on.
So, going through that left me with a real phobia of skeletons. Not surprising, really. I get why it was kind of funny, at least why everyone always laughed when I told them. So, after a while, I just stopped telling them. It makes sense. I mean, we see skeletons as kind of goofy, right? Dancing cartoon bones and cheesy Halloween decorations. If people have seen a real one, it was probably clean, polished, and hung up in a museum somewhere. Not many people have seen them fresh and bloody, with fat and muscles still clinging to them. As a kid, the phobia was really intense. I don't know how many Halloween meltdowns my parents had to deal with over the years, but I never told them what happened at the Magnus Institute. I didn't think they would believe me, and now I'm certain they wouldn't. Even now, I can see you smirking, and I do get it. But handing the other kids a cheat code for bullying you is a bad idea, so by the time I was in my mid-teens, I'd learned to hide it, just calling myself a bit of a scaredy-cat. I still had to steel myself when October rolled around, but it generally didn't affect my life as much as it had when I was younger. Then, I started training to be a lawyer. I went corporate, nothing sexy like a barrister. I'd never had a calling, so I thought I might as well make good money while doing something that I at least found mildly interesting. Anyway, it takes years to qualify, even after finishing your degree and taking all the courses, so I took a job as a paralegal at Ackman Blaine. It wasn't what I expected. There were three others on my team. Natasha Merrill, Anastasia Russing, and Anthony... something. I forget his last name. As soon as I met them, I knew we weren't going to get along. My parents were pretty well off, all told. But these three were something else. Every one of them was there because of some family connection, and none of them had any doubt about where their career was going. Natasha was occasionally kind to me, in a charity case kind of way. But as far as the other two were concerned, I might as well have been something they scraped off their shoe. And on top of all the rest of the pressure that comes with working as a paralegal, it didn't take long for it to start to get to me. 6 months in, and I was already getting hit with the holy trinity of insomnia, depression, and burnout. Then Halloween came around. One of them, I think it must have been Anthony, went around taping little cartoon skeletons to all the monitors. It wasn't aimed at me. I hadn't been stupid enough to tell any of them, but I reacted badly. I don't remember what happened exactly, but I knew it ended with me crying at my desk. Natasha asked me what was wrong, and I don't know, maybe it was because she was occasionally nice to me, but I ended up telling her. She nodded, very sympathetic, and said she'd get Anthony to take the skeletons down. He did, and that was the last I heard of it. Until about a month later, when Anastasia asked me to help her get a ream of paper down from the top shelf of the stationery cupboard. It wasn't a suspicious thing to do. She couldn't have been more than 5'2", and it wasn't the first time she'd asked me to fetch something. So it came as a complete surprise when the door slammed shut behind me. The cupboard was shallow enough that it didn't have a light, and as I was plunged into pitch darkness, I could hear three distinct voices giggling to themselves. It was only as I turned to open it that I saw what was waiting for me. Pinned to the inside of the door was a glow-in-the-dark paper skeleton. You know, the ones with those pale green bones that stand out in the gloom. I froze, terrified. I wanted to scream, but I choked it down. I knew the reaction they wanted, and however close I might have been to a breakdown at that point, I was damned if I was going to give them the satisfaction. Then something changed. I don't know how to describe it exactly. It was like the fear inside me, mixed with something, became something entirely new. Not just inside me anymore. I screamed when the skeleton began to peel itself off the door. Its two-dimensional grin opened wide as its legs flailed, stretched, and spasmed, dancing like in those old cartoons. And it reached out its arms towards me. It couldn't have been more than 10 seconds between my scream and when our boss Jean Pierce pulled the door open, but apparently my face was already covered in paper cuts. So, yeah, I don't know how that fits into whatever system you use for these things.
It doesn't.
Anyone else clock when it turned into a statement?
What?
You think it's nearby?
I don't think so. The squad has definitely been more eloquent since it arrived, but it seems to just be a general effect near the zone.
So far.
I'm guessing you didn't stay in that job much longer?
I tried, but my nerves were shot. A week later, David pulled me into his office for the "not everyone can handle the pressure" talk, and I was encouraged to move on, right out the door.
Anyway, the point is that regardless of whether this archivist is John or not, it's not working the same as it did before.
I don't even know if it's quite the same as it was in my universe either.
What do you mean?
Well, for one thing, the eyeballs are new. I'm wondering if this eye thing you have has changed it.
Had. It's gone now.
Unless having another archivist changes that.
Well, shit.
Yeah. So, given all that, if anyone wants out, now's the time, because either way, this is going to get messy.
I'm still in.
And it's not like I've got anywhere else to be.
You know I can hear when you're all staring at me, right? Obviously I'm in. I'll just leave the shooting to you guys.
Well, okay then.
So does that mean I'll be getting a gun? Because I haven't actually...
No.
The Magnus Protocol is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. The series is created by Jonathan Sims and Alexander J. Newell, and directed by Alexander J. Newell. This episode was written by Jonathan Sims and edited with additional materials by Alexander J. Newell, with vocal edits by Lorianne Davis, soundscaping by Tessa Vroom, and mastering by Catherine Ranella, with music by Sam Jones. It featured Shahan Hamza as Samama Khalid, Billy Hindle as Alice Dyer, Sasha Sienna as Georgie Barker, Lydia Nicholas as Melanie King, The Magnus Protocol is produced by April Sumner, with executive producers Alexander J. Newell, Danny McDonough, Lynn C., and Samantha F. G. Hamilton, and associate producers Jordan L. Hawke, Taylor Michaels, Nicole Perlman, C.T.S. DeRaven, and Megan Nice. To subscribe, view associated materials, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at @TheRustyQuill, visit us on Facebook, or email us at mail@rustyquill.com. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Alex here, founder and CEO of Rusty Quill Limited. In case you haven't heard, there is now a Magnus Archives novel. The Library of Jürgen Leitner is set in the world of the Magnus Archives and written by Nebula Award-winning author Premi Mohammed with our very own Jonathan Sims. The story follows Hugh, a university dropout desperate to find somewhere to belong, and his new job at an esoteric library. The books he must investigate for the enigmatic Jürgen Leitner are not normal, because the library is not a vault, sealed and silent, but a hive, alive, buzzing, and ready to sting. The Library of Jürgen Leitner releases October 27th, 2026, but you can pre-order it right now in the US and UK from your local bookshop or by using the link in the episode description. If you live outside of the UK or US, you may be able to make an international order for this first publication, but it depends on individual retailers' shipping policies.